The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell back together. I got to tell you, it was awesome. It's you guys got to experience it sometime. Representing your country internationally in a sporting competition is unbelievable, and it was an unbelievable time. And I can't thank Steve enough for the time we had. In I'm sure you guys read about it this weekend, the Cabo Cup. And what happened?
No, did not.
Chronicles cut back
so much on staffing that they weren't able to cover it.
They didn't cover it. Well, it is a shame, but I'm sure that there are plenty of websites out there that were able to get all the information. And the unbelievable come from behind win by Steve Trauber's team, Captain Steve Trauber, who was so unbelievably courageous. I mean, we lost a guy. He had to go home because his wife was sick. So we were down to 7 players against 8, and Steve had to take 2 guys on by himself, and he did it and courageously won both. And we were down 9 points heading into the singles matches and just dominated those singles matches. So I don't want
to
call us.
Handle both of them?
I don't want to call us. Yeah, he took on 2 guys and won both of them, both matches. Yeah.
At once?
Yeah. And so I don't want to say that we're heroes, but it was certainly an heroic effort. I just want to put it that way. I don't like to call it, you know, just ourselves heroes, but it was. Oh, I got the Cabo Cup chant. If you guys want to hear it,
no
on the phone,
nope.
You might want to. Are you sure you guys don't? You don't want to hear it, is what you're saying.
Maybe not first segment.
It seems like something we save tease so people get excited about it.
It's something,
much like Steve was
like
with those 2 guys.
Instead, you playing it off your phone. Maybe you send it to Dell.
Yeah,
the quality's better.
The quality would be better.
Well, it's. I mean,
instead of you doing this, you just. Yeah. And we were right.
Yeah, it's terrible. Can't even hear it.
You can't even hear it.
Yeah. What a bunch of nerds.
That's the championship chant after, you know, with the shots and the tequila and the pouring on the champagne on the head and everything. It was an unbelievable, unbelievable weekend. Yeah.
Do you know any of the stuff that's happened here while you're gone?
Is it as nearly as important as the Cabo Cup? No.
Is getting Uncle Mike Brantley back?
That was kind
years,
of a big
16?
Deal.
Yeah, that's a really big deal.
He got the same
deal.
Contract he got last time, so
yeah,
nice.
That's a really big deal.
Yeah, it was a really big deal. And, you know, Deshaun leaving, whatever. Josh McCown is a new head coach. Who cares?
Josh McCown is not. But Josh McCown being listed as an interviewed head coach, that came out on Friday, so I didn't have a chance to comment on it. At this point, it is really Jack just doing this to everybody to flaunt it. And he wanted to make sure he got that one in. That one is so unbelievable that a guy who joined the team like with 2 weeks to go, what purpose? Didn't really make sense. AJ Karen, yeah, right. McCarron's here. Didn't really make a lot of sense for him to get an interview and then be considered a legitimate candidate, and the Texans never came out and said anything contrary. That was so unbelievable. That is the most Texan-y thing with Jack Easterby that I could possibly think of. That this guy, who is known to love Jack Easterby,
yeah, oh, he's a no
somehow
Jack
gets
Easterby.
a head coaching interview. That's astonishing. Then it turns into, well, Eric Bieniemy and Jim Caldwell are the 2 guys. Then it turns into, well, Eric Bieniemy and Leslie Frazier are the 2 guys. Fritz Pollard comes out and says, I'm sorry, we don't like how any of this stuff
is
gone.
Jim Caldwell is probably the leader right now with his second interview.
Well, according to the reports today, it's Frazier and Eric Bieniemy.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. It's multiple reports coming out all over the place where Caldwell's now not even being mentioned. It depends on where you ask. I think it's going to be the Texans, I guess, are basically they're being told or pressured, we need a black head coach. You're last in. You're going to do this. And the Fritz Pollard Alliance has been very upset, and that's what came out yesterday is the Texans, it's going to be an African-American head coach. And the three are Caldwell, Leslie Frazier, Eric Bieniemy. If it's Bieniemy, then he is going to be under so... The Texans now will go from being people's not favorite team to people's... The team people... I won't say favorite. The team people really cheer for. If Eric Bieniemy gets to be the head coach, right? Yeah. People will be cheering for Texans' success.
I guess.
And you can't not.
Once it happens...
I mean, nationally.
Yeah, I mean, what Todd Bowles... Okay, and all the... When you get your job, you get the job. Everybody will forget about... You know what? Oh, so now you just... Everybody Bieniemy, is just going to forget about that.
No.
Bieniemy's the Texans will become the Texans again, and no one will care about the Texans. What are you crazy?
If they don't win, no. Eric Bieniemy has been the one that's been talked about for 2 years nonstop. Todd Bowles has never talked about like that.
No, but...
Steve Wilks has never talked about like that. Well, Eric Bieniemy is the face right now. People have made him the face of African-American coaching searches. And I think that he is going to have a tremendous amount of pressure for if he gets the job. But especially Eric Bieniemy, because people don't say Leslie Frazier. People don't say Jim Caldwell. It's Eric Bieniemy's never gotten that job.
Okay, and he's from Kansas City. People are not jumping on the Texans. Eric Bieniemy, I can't wait to watch him coach.
No, do you think
he's just going to be another coach in the NFL? If he fails, he fails.
Will they want him, just going to be another Andy Reid failure? That's it?
Yeah.
You don't think anyone's going to be putting a cape on for Eric Bieniemy and the Texans?
Well, but no.
They're going to be cheering for him to succeed.
Absolutely. Well, a bunch of people will want him to succeed. But that people will, now, I got to get behind the Houston Texans.
No. They're going to want the Texans to win every week. Mm. People nationally who don't have a... I'm not saying they're going to go buy Texans stuff. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's they will now have a vested interest in the Texans, which will be an unusual turn because they are not a likable team outside of this city. And frankly, they're not that likable in the city.
They're not likable, period. Here's the deal. Welcome, then, to our world, all of you national people that are going to be so hell-bent on the Texans winning now and behind Eric Bieniemy. And disappointed week in and week out because that's what we do here.
Yeah.
Okay? So, because Eric Bieniemy is here, now all of a sudden Cal McNair is an astrophysicist. Now all of a sudden that offensive line miraculously gets those defensive backs, those Kevin Kings over there, they're just
Kevin Kings?
Aren't they a bunch of Kevin?
We don't have Kevin Kings. What? We're not even good enough to have a Kevin King.
I don't know, dude. Kevin King might not have played for the Texans.
Kevin King was bad
yesterday.
Golly.
Man, he was bad. Anyway, so, yeah, I mean, good luck with, oh my goodness, I'm going to root for the Eric Bieniemy's now. Whatever. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to be mediocre. They'll be 17th in the league in offense.
And Deshaun Watson, this team is officially the culture's team.
Well, no,
officially the culture's team. The Texans are the culture's team. Yes, we are. We're the Houston cultures.
No, we're the usual. We're going to be 8-8 or 7-9 9-7.
All they did was win divisions.
We're going to be mediocre on offense. We're going to be below average on defense. And that's what we do. So welcome all of you people who just love to see Eric Bieniemy get a head coaching job. Here's what he got. Congratulations.
Once again, he has not been named head coach. There was a writer or reporter in Kansas City. And he says, let me pull it up for you here. Because he made the comment, his name is Dannon Hughes, and he says, likely big announcement in the Chiefs' kingdom in the next 24 to 48 hours. Stay tuned. And a lot of people believe that was last night at 11:30. A lot of people believe that is Eric Bieniemy. Now, what would be a likely big announcement? Is it maybe Mitchell Schwartz will be back for the Super Bowl? Maybe. Could be.
Well,
he's been out for like forever.
Yeah.
It's not going to be Eric. We already know Eric Fisher's going to be out.
Did you just say something? But Mitchell Schwartz was involved? Was going to be big news?
Well, for the Chiefs fans, well, it would be to get a starting tackle back when Eric Fisher's gone.
I guess,
maybe. Oh, that'd be huge news for Chiefs fans.
Mm.
But it could also be about Eric Bieniemy getting a head coaching job.
Yeah. No. It could be. Or that Josh McCown got a head coaching job.
But that's not big news.
It's still big news.
Chiefs game.
No. How big a news would it be if Josh McCown actually was the head coach here? How much ridicule would there be for this organization if they named Josh McCown the head coach of this football team? As if we're not thought of as being dumb enough. As if we're not being thought of as being as inept as possible. The most undesirable, but went from least desirable to the most undesirable.
You almost cheer for it. You almost cheer for it just to say, let's just go all in with this. Go ahead.
From the DeAndre Hopkins.
The GM candidate, who, by the way, is a fine candidate, but he wasn't on, you know, how it was handled, wasn't on Corn Ferry's list. You were going to hire Omar Khan reportedly to a coach who's never coached. Let's go all in. Who loves Jack Easterby? There's already people talking about the Christian Alliance of Texans or something. CAT. It says, let's just go all in with it. Let's push the chips in. It'll be a rough 2 or 3 years, but let's just lean into it and just see how bad it can get.
From the Clowney to the Tunsil to the DeAndre Hopkins, all those trades. All the idiocy that's been going on, can't be dumber the way you've gone about it. Everything that you've done, might as well just, you're right. I'm pushing all in.
Yeah.
Here's all my McCown chips. Here they are. All in.
Push them all in and let's see what happens.
Has Casario put his stamp on his organization by, you know what, let's do the traditional thing. We'll interview coordinators or interview former head coaches. But you know what I really want to get to? The possibility of hiring Josh McCown and then hiring a former head coach as his babysitter as he gets walked through the process of being an NFL head coach.
Well,
is that Casario's stamp so far?
That's the traditional way to hire a head coach.
Whoa,
coach that's never coached a down and then give him a former head coach that can – babysit him through all the steps.
And
isn't that how every team does it?
And when he was a third string, he was also coaching the first string quarterback after he was just the third string quarterback.
Right.
Behind that guy. I like the idea of maybe making him a player coach and having him coach, but also be the third quarterback.
Wouldn't it be sweet if he had
third quarterback,
the shoulder pads
play,
on?
Yeah.
With the baseball cap.
Baseball cap, shoulder pads. He's sitting there holding shoulder pads like quarterbacks do right here. And he's got a play, or with one hand, he's got a play chart and a play calling chart in the other. I like it. I mean, like I said, push all in, Texans. The enemy, shmee enemy. Caldwell, Schmaldwell. Frazier, Schmazier. I want Josh McCown as a player coach, and I just want to see where else you guys can take us.
Well, let's not rule out the fact that you might have McCown and Caldwell. McCown is your head coach. Yeah. Caldwell as the guy who will
help walk him
through everything.
I mean, it would be incredible. Jim Caldwell, Papa Jim Caldwell, because then everyone's going to be like, why is Caldwell not the head coach if you're just going to bring him in? Like,
no, because
why is he not the head coach then?
Because,
well, we would like a face for the organization, and that face is
why don't you have
McCown.
Josh McCown as the quarterback coach?
Well, there's that. But who loves Jack Easterby more? Josh McCown. Therefore, he's going to be the head coach. If you love Jack Easterby more, you're going to be the head coach, and that's it.
I just want to laugh at everyone who was like, oh, now that Casario's here, it's going to be run like a real football organization. You dummies. As long as Easterby is here, it's going to be run the way Easterby wants it to. Now, you may work out that you hire an actual traditional head coach candidate, but it's always going to be sprinkles of Jack.
Yeah.
Look at these sprinkles of Jack and everything.
There's Jack dust all over the organization. 715 ESPN 97.5. Jack dust.
Dale, can we get some different phrasing?
Well, I've never heard it called Jack dust before.
Dust. I mean,
well, I let's leave it at dust. Jack,
no, let's
leave it at dust.
Jack
yeah,
dust.
Let's just
Jack sprinkles.
All over the place.
All over the place. You know what else? Here's the deal. Is you know what your kids want, mom, dad, you know what the kids want? They want a basket. They want a hoop. They want a hoop they can enjoy. They want the best hoop in the business. You want the best hoop in the business. You know, when you put the basketball goal in the front yard on the driveway, out in front of the house, do you know what it, I mean, it actually is part of the appearance of your home. Well, do you want that to look like crap? No, because if the rim is bent, the backboard needs painting. It's all chipped. That is just, your house looks all shungad, looks terrible. Stop. You want the best goal in the market, and the best goal in the market is the Hoops goal. It's not even arguable. Keith Tate does an unbelievable job, and you will love this goal. And you can raise and lower it so that the kids can actually enjoy it, because they can't enjoy it if it's too high, Dad. Can't reach the basket. No fun. I'm not going outside. I'm going to stay and play Xbox all day. No. They want the goal that they can actually enjoy. Dunk on it as well. So if you're looking for that goal, one place to go. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Brian asks a good question. Is the Cabo Cup parade today or tomorrow? With COVID, we are not having a parade this year. We are actually responsible. We want to be. We're like Deshaun, you know. I don't want any march on the on NRG because of COVID. We don't want anybody to get sick. So here's the deal: is we'll probably have a setup two parades next year when everybody can do it healthily. Okay, so there's that. So 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Those of you that don't know what the Cabo Cup is, well, catch up. That's all. We're talking Jack Easterby. We're talking Texans. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Matt wanted to get in last segment. Let's get him in here. What do you say, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning. Hey, Matt. Lance read my tweet last week talking about the whole Deshaun Watson, what happens if he gets traded or not. Now, the news coming out this week with the enemy being the head coach or may not, as a diehard Texans fan, free agent to be, depending on what happens with Deshaun Watson, I am a Deshaun Watson trade away. If even being a Texans fan, if Deshaun Watson gets traded, I'm buying Deshaun Watson's jersey and I'm going wherever he goes and support him. Not like Harden left, you know, some way to talk about it. I'm not buying a Brooklyn jersey. We don't feel that type of way. But if Watson gets traded and Bieniemy becomes the head coach, we can care less who the head coach is. I'm not interested in the Texans anymore. If Watson is here with Bieniemy, hopefully they can build something special as well we want. But like I said, I'm a trade away of becoming a fan free agent, not even supporting the Texans anymore. Thanks, guys. Good morning.
All right, man. I don't know how many people will do that. How many people? I've heard a lot of some backlash for Deshaun. I mean, hey, you're a player, blah, 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 blah. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I can't be more pissed with the organization. I mean, players have voices now. And, oh, by the way, yeah, I don't know about the whole GM thing, whether or not. But I think Deshaun just might have been disgusted with it. Not that he wanted. He never said he wanted to pick the GM. He never said. Actually, he talked a lot about the coaching search and whatnot. But all he wanted was to have a voice. And they listened to nothing. Nothing. Zero. Zero.
So, it's simple. That's why he's pissed.
Yeah, that's why he's
pissed. He was like, why'd you lie to me?
But people are,
he thinks it's a lie.
I think people are mistaking it that Deshaun Watson wanted to pick the general manager or wants to pick the head coach. And that's not it. He said that wasn't it.
Well,
but that they totally ignored Robert Saleh and Eric Bieniemy when it was the owner that was talking to him about these things. And then the owner was doing the interviews.
How could Easterby be so stupid? How could Nick Caserio it couldn't.
Are you
sure? Not really Nick Caserio. How could Jack Easterby not be smart enough to say, hey, let's bring. Now, I do believe that some of Bieniemy's background caused.
Yeah.
I have heard that.
Yes.
It caused some hesitation with even giving him an interview in the first place.
What interview? What?
And this is a nod to Deshaun where they are now willing to potentially hire him.
But are we sure that Sean is an Easterby guy?
He's not an anti-Easterby guy.
Okay.
Are we
sure that Easterby is totally down with Deshaun now?
Deshaun has made it clear again. He doesn't make anything clear.
No.
Deshaun hasn't talked.
What rap lyric do we have to interpret today?
I don't know. We'll get something soon. Uh-huh. Something new came out from Future that some new lyrics came out that I haven't been able to interpret yet. But he said something that I'm not sure what it means. As with most of Deshaun's,
there are super intelligence FBI people that can't decipher Deshaun's tweets.
His latest tweet that you can try to decipher, because he's tweeted about, he quote tweeted Quincy Avery, but about Bernie. There's a Bernie meme that Quincy tweeted out. If you always there for me, that's a really good look. So, I mean, that seems pretty straightforward.
No, keep going.
No, that's it. If you're always there
for me. Do the one about black hearts and.
That's not there.
We'll do that one.
It's not there.
What do you mean it's not there? He just had one.
No, I've been trying to have some patience and told my mama she should pray on it. There's nothing about black hearts in the last week.
Oh, no, it's on his. I think it's on Instagram.
Well, then I don't go there. I only go to Twitter for my Deshaun deciphering.
Hold on.
Other than that, he's quote tweeting Pro Football Focused focus and his stat lines from the year. All right. A lot of praise from Pro Football Focus over the last week.
All right. Okay. Here's the new one. Okay. This is 19 hours ago. This is the freshest one. John, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Can you tell me, Dell, you're supposed to decipher our lyrics for us.
I don't know why you keep putting that on me, but
I was giving my all, not asking for it back. I had blue hearts at first. I had to turn them black. Rags to riches.
I don't know what. I can't. What happened to, like,
King Karan said?
What happened to, like, completion percentage? And
well, you don't put that on your
touchdown
Instagram.
Touchdown ratio.
King Karan said 100.
I know that,
King
but
Saladin.
I don't know. I'm not. I guess I'm not versed in, you know, deciphering rap lyrics.
Oh.
To find out what the quarterback. You know what? I kind of like. I mean, maybe it's racist of me, but I kind of like the way Aaron Rodgers went about it more. I don't know what I'm going to do in my future. One not me, that field goal. I don't know.
Well, the song, it's a quote or lyrics from a relatively new song, Rags to Riches.
By who?
By Rod Wave. But you were the guy, the star of John versus Genius, and yet you can't decipher rap lyrics? What happened?
Yeah, this is a little.
Well, those rap lyrics.
Okay.
Those rap lyrics I can't decipher. I just. God.
3 days ago. Ask the kids at school who ambition all the missions.
Well, not everything is about the Texans. Some of it is just him, you know, quoting songs and putting it to a picture because he likes the song. I'm not going to say everything he says. Like, some of this stuff is like, whatever. But and then there are some clear things that are shots at the Texans. I think I'm going to say Twitter is where he takes his shots at the Texans.
All this work I put in got me very fatigued.
These are just off-the-cuff things from songs he likes.
Is it?
I'm not going to read into everyone. Partly because I don't care, really. Trade him to the Jets for all I care. Get it over with.
Yeah. Apparently, that's the latest, is that he's okay. He wants now. The Jets are at the top of the list because Robert Saleh.
Yeah, that came. Well, one report came from Armando.
Your guy.
Salguero.
Will you tell the truth on Armando?
No one. Most people who read Armando. Found that skeptical. Like, how do you have an inside source with the Texans quarterback?
But he never directly, he acted like Deshaun. He got no real confirmation.
Yeah. Like, people are like, so the Miami, not even a beat reporter, the columnist had inside info from the Texans camp, and maybe not even specifically the Texans camp, the Houston Texans quarterback camp, who you have no ties to?
Yeah.
I believe that he's being played like a lot of people are. I have heard that Deshaun would not really be into a team that would have to give up all the picks to get him and be in the same spot Texans are in. And it doesn't make any sense. Like, who has ever said, you know where I want to go? I'm tired of this losing. I'm tired of this stuff. Get me to the Jets. Said no quarterback in
the
history.
Second pick in the draft.
Get me to the Jets and get a huge package of picks out of here. I want to go to this team. With Becton and free agent money and no running game and not a good offensive line. Why in the world would he want a downgrade Texan team?
Ooh. Are you sure it's a downgrade?
Yeah, it is right now. They won two games.
I know. I kind of think they'll be better than the Texans next year.
Oh, they very well could.
Yeah.
That's what you're shooting for? Better than
shooting
the Texans?
Shooting for the moon, Lance. Shoot for the moon.
Shooting for... Here's what I'd like.
Well...
A much higher tax rate. And a team that just had two wins.
You know how many more followers he'll pick up, though?
He's going to pick up some followers.
Yeah.
But you don't think the appeal of throwing a Jameson Crowder is enough?
I mean, it's exciting. Or maybe Will Fuller signs
the
free agent
there. Over there.
Yeah. He can have Will Fuller every nine games?
Yeah. Right. No. I mean,
now he's going to have to pick up on the Brooklyn. I mean, this future stuff isn't going to cut it. You're going to have to start getting up on the latest. And what if he comes right in and, you know, immediately goes to 6'9"? And immediately
you
does
think
Tekashi?
I don't think that's what's going
to
happen.
I don't feel. I just feel like he needs to make sure he knows Tekashi's not on that blood stuff anymore.
No, I think he'll
he's
honor
people out. He needs to learn the politics of New York rap.
No, he'll
before he gets in.
He'll honor recently departed. Well, not that recent. Happened in early last year. Now, Pop Smoke. Pop Smoke's from Brooklyn.
Yeah,
I think he'll honor Pop Smoke.
Dead.
Yeah, well, he'll honor Pop Smoke.
We gonna honor him though.
You can. Yeah, I mean, you can honor Pop Smoke.
If he got traded to Brooklyn, you know. Deshaun is about Deshaun will like to ingratiate himself. I'm sure he'll he'll put on a Brooklyn jersey at some point if he gets traded to New York.
Oh, James.
To honor his buddy.
Would he put on a Brooklyn Harden jersey?
Yes.
What?
Yes. To really twist the knife in Houston?
100%.
100%. 729 ESPN 97.5. You want to get in some with 3780. Let's talk about yesterday's games tomorrow and the next segment.
Can we do that?
Next segment, yesterday's games. What teams actually, and I'm watching those games, I was like, look at these good teams playing football.
Well, I don't know. It felt like Anthony Weaver was calling plays for the Packers in the second.
Good God.
The first
end of the half?
Yeah.
Hey, look,
well, we'll do that on the other side. But right now, we're talking about a 2021 Ford F-150. They got them in stock at Chastang Ford. Chastang Ford has in stock 2021 F-150s. If you go to a lot of dealerships, they will not have those in stock. But they do at Chastang Ford. How about the 2021 Ford Bronco Sport? I mean, they are totally sweet, people. These Broncos, these new Broncos are awesome. If you haven't seen them yet, come and test drive one. 2020 EcoSport, they're starting at $14,999. Great car for someone that wants a small SUV, thinking about buying a safe car for your kid. This is a great safe car. Or the 2020 all remaining Explorers, up to $10,000 off. 2020 F-150 XLT crew cabs, up to $10,000 off. I'm telling you, people, this is where you're going to get the deals. You can do it all at home, a shop online at ChastangFord.com. Do it all. You don't even have to go to the dealership ever, and you can't do that with other dealerships. Or you can go to the dealership, which you'll love. You're going to love it. And they're cleaning, disinfecting, doing everything that they have to keep everybody safe. It's all at Chastang Ford on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastang Ford.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards and knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2-point. So the way I was looking at it was we essentially had four timeouts with the 2-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end. But, you know, we got called for the PI and it didn't work out. So I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure. But we're always going to be process driven here. And the way our defense was battling, the way our defense was playing, we felt like it was the right decision to do. And it just didn't work out.
Okay. Rank the bad calls. The defense at the end of the half where they scored the touchdown with no time left.
Looked like they were in, I guess, I don't know, were they man or cover three? I just know it had to be cover three because for King to get.
Well, why was he so close then? Why?
I don't know. You just want to. I know the thought was 8 seconds ago they're going to gain 10 yards, get a field goal. Well, I didn't expect him to go over the top with a shot at the end zone, which would take up almost the whole time.
Yeah, but you have to prevent that, though.
Yeah, I think they wanted
to. Don't give them the opportunity.
No, I think they wanted to prevent. My guess is they wanted to prevent getting more yards for the field goal because 8 seconds, you figure.
It was six, and I think. And
it was 8 seconds.
Well, they weren't going to. As long as you don't let them out of bounds, they're not stopping the clock.
Did they not have a timeout
left? No timeouts.
Okay, yeah. So that defensive call, kicking the field goal as opposed to going for it on 4th and 8, or the interference call to end the game? Rank the bad calls.
Well, what do you mean the interference call?
Did you the interference call at the end of the game? They called interference on, and he wasn't. It was at Kevin King, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. He.
Yeah.
Well, I think
the
issue was he grabbed twice.
Yeah.
He grabbed, let go, and he didn't let
it was
go.
A
he was
total
pulled away.
Acting job.
Yeah. I'm not saying. Yeah. But what he did was he pulled, and that was clear. And then the guy got away from
him.
They and
actually
he
still
again.
Had a chance to get the ball back. Unbelievably.
Yeah.
Because that was like. Because they needed the four. It was what Fournette got the first or whoever got the first on. I was like, how the hell did they
God almost, went on a run?
To me, maybe it was God, but to me, it was. It's not going for that. Okay, are you going to put the? What about the call by Aaron Rodgers not to run it into the end zone for a touchdown on third down?
Well,
throw that one in there too.
Well,
what are you doing, Aaron? And what about these sets of plays? These are the best. Y'all need a touchdown. You have four plays. You're at the whatever 8 yard line. You got to dial something up better than that, Aaron. Yeah. I mean, and Matt LaFleur.
Well, no, that's more the call, the coaching.
Aaron Rodgers has got
well,
to run.
Here's
that
the deal: is yeah, well, but that was a question too. Was does Aaron Rodgers know it's four? I guess he knows it's four down territory. You
no.
have to know it's four.
Well,
down.
Yeah, he assumed he didn't know they're going to kick the field goal. That's what. He
no.
Said.
Yeah, but if he runs,
why doesn't he run?
Worst case scenario,
that's
he gets
the question.
To the two
why
or
don't
three...
you run since you knew?
Well,
he gets to the 2 or 3 yard
well,
line.
They asked
worst
him about
case
it.
Scenario.
They asked him about it, and he said he felt like he would have got caught. That's what he said. He made the judgment that
they
he would have got caught.
They had so much time.
No, he just said he felt that he wouldn't have got in, so that's why
it's
he tried
a
to make
bad,
the throw.
It's a bad answer.
That's a well. If he felt that way, it may be
he
wrong.
He felt that way, but he was wrong, and it wasn't. And there was at least two times I saw where Aaron Rodgers did not run when there was – I mean, that one made no sense. You had a man in the back of the end zone, and that was it who defensively. You could have come up, worst-case scenario, got to the 2 or 3 yard line. Worst-case scenario. Yeah.
And give yourself a chance.
You would have given yourself a chance to kick the field goal there. Analytics guys tried to say, well, it technically gave you a 2% higher chance of winning. Y'all need to stop. That's a terrible, terrible decision. You kick a field goal and you're still down by that touchdown. Don't tell me about, yeah, but if you get a touchdown, you win. You make that a touchdown and 2-point conversion to give yourself a chance to play in overtime. You don't, and then if you don't get the 2-point conversion, you still have your 2-minute drill, your 2-minute warning, and you still have your 3 timeouts. It's the same thing you guys are talking about with the field goal, only you actually have a chance at giving yourself an opportunity, and if you don't get it, they're down inside their own 10-yard line. And you still have all those timeouts and everything. Do not embarrass yourself by trying to come up with an analytics formula that says it was actually the right call. It is stupidity. And you're doing the analytics movement a huge disservice to try to act like that was the right call. You are not guaranteed to get the ball back, which is the entire point of giving yourself the play calling was just not to put everything into fling it into the end zone mode. That wasn't good. That wasn't good. Now, I think Alan Lazard was not looking on second down for that RPO, which could have been a touchdown. So that may have been on him. But I just thought bad set of downs. Aaron Rodgers completely screwed up by not taking off on third down and getting closer or scoring a touchdown. And then to kick a field goal, you never got it back. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations. It was just dumb. The call at the end of the half not to have guys all the way over the top. How do you let Scotty Miller get? I know I was shocked that Tom Brady took that shot. I'm sure Green Bay was even more shocked.
Why?
That he would take with no timeouts, I get. Well, the thought would probably be you're going to try to do whatever you can to fire off something, even 4 yards on a sideline. Just a quick out. Scotty Miller, zoom, zoom. And instead, Tom Brady's like, oh, okay.
Well,
I'll take my shot here.
Well, Bruce Arians said that was totally Tom's call. And he said he liked the matchup. Who doesn't like a matchup against Kevin King?
By the way, Scotty Miller can run.
One-on-one against Kevin King.
Scotty Miller is a 4-3-40 guy.
Yeah.
Well, he's a 4-3-40 guy.
Well, Kevin King
is not. Like, for real.
Kevin King is not.
God, he looks slow.
Man. But Brady, it was Brady's call. Brady loved the matchup, and Brady took the shot. I mean, with no timeouts left, what do you got to lose? Throw it up there. Unbelievable that happened before the half. That was the worst call. The second though was definitely kicking the field goal. And then the third, probably Aaron Rodgers. You're right. Aaron Rodgers not running it, not running and balling. You can, even if it's, you know, even if it's it's fourth and eight and you don't make it, you're right. They're still on the 8 yard line.
Yeah.
What's, and you still have to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
So
they're in the eight.
But you don't need a 2-point conversion now. Oh, well, good.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a good enough reason because now you have to try to get the ball back against Tom Brady.
Right.
And that you hadn't had a tremendous amount of success with that. And so it didn't make any sense. You go for it. If you don't get it, they're in there. They're in and you get another chance to get it back the same way.
And then is there anything to talk about from the Chiefs game?
I think so. I think that the things I would mention are, clearly, Steve Spagnuolo did a phenomenal job of setting up the defense to take away what Josh Allen likes. There were no deep. They weren't able to get the deep ball going, the deep shots going. Josh Allen was pushed to areas of the field that he did not feel comfortable. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo and that defense really made the Bills' offense uncomfortable. I thought they did a great job of slowing that down. And then it also shows that Josh Allen wasn't ready for that game.
Yeah, he was off.
Which is fine. I mean, normal. Yeah. But it shows you he's not ready for that type of game yet.
No.
He just wasn't.
Just sideline passes, out of the backfield, swing passes. But they were just up and up high.
He hung on to the ball forever when he had opportunities to get it out.
Yeah.
He was a guy who just did not look like he was ready for that level of game at this stage of his career, where Pat Mahomes looked the exact opposite.
I don't know.
They did lose Eric Fisher, which is a big deal because, remember, you saw what Green Bay, once again, Tampa's defense got after Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay again.
Yep.
Now you have Eric Fisher, starting tackle, who's going to be out with an Achilles injury. That is not something that you should discount, is the Tampa rush versus the Kansas City pass protection. I would not discount that. That number is pretty high, too, like 57.5. I don't know. I feel like those two defensive fronts may cause some problems for the quarterbacks. I kind of like that under.
You like the under? Three is the number. And I got to tell you this. The books made a bunch again because the Packers were everybody was on the Packers yesterday. Everybody was on the Packers. And it was unbelievable how I thought, well, how stupid are the books making this a 3-point game? They were begging you to take the Packers. And I thought, that's just so dumb. Aaron Rodgers is going to, no, that you're right. That front and white. And I'm telling you that's a good defense. We'll see if this is going to be a good game. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I saw 56.5, but maybe you're right. Maybe 57.5.
Well, no, maybe that's where it is now too.
That could well be. They didn't make any money on the Chiefs game. The books didn't. Although Buffalo had plenty of people that were on that side. I don't know why, but the books made a ton off of Tampa winning that game. It's 3.5 and 56 right now.
Maybe the books
at my bookie.
Maybe people were on the Bills side because they watched enough ESPN where they had one of these tail of the tape things where they go, who has the advantage? They do the check mark thing. And one of the graphics had the Bills with a quarterback advantage.
No, what now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 And the argument was, who else said that? That was said by Adam Schein, also said the combination of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. First of all, I don't care what numbers you're going to tell me. You cannot legitimately make a call for Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen over Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. It really can't be done. Just so you remember, Mahomes is going to finish second in the MVP voting, too.
Well, Josh Allen probably third.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, 7378037776 if you want to get in. You got any thoughts on either of the games or anything else? We got Rockets. How about we talk about our Rockets? What about our Rockets kicking some ass now?
I wonder how many people saw it.
What do you mean, how many people
saw it? I'm actually interested. How many people actually saw it?
I mean, everybody
saw it. Who tuned in to the game?
Everybody saw it. Just, what are you, crazy?
Because you keep saying it doesn't mean it happened. I mean, because the Rockets going into the weekend, I mean, they beat Detroit the game before in a game where they had a big lead, almost blew it, and then Detroit didn't get a layup up in time. And then they roll into Dallas and smack the Mavericks around. I'm just interested, considering what the season has been so far, how many people want to see that game?
Everybody, I'm pretty sure. I mean, it was the national games, I would imagine, no? So, anyway, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Rockets on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, I want to talk right now about HRP. HRP.net, HRP.net, just the best damn way for you to get into the payroll game. If you are somebody who's been doing your own payroll, your business is growing, your widgets are selling now, or whatever the case may be, you've had difficulties with the PPP, you've had difficulties with your small business loan, you've had difficulties with HR compliance, you've had and listen, if you aren't compliant with HR, all the HR rules, then guess what? You're the one that's going to struggle. So here's the deal. Is go with our payroll company. We love them, and you will love them too. They'll come to your place, and they will design a package just for you. If you're looking for the best way to get into the payroll game and the HR game, and they'll take care of your taxes, and they'll take care of your Affordable Care Act, all of this, it's every single day. This is what they do. They're the best. It's HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. So the Rockets, since we were here, well, since I was here, I've played, I mean, probably a month towards the games. But Friday and Saturday, back-to-back games in which they beat the Pistons by one and then beat the snot out of the Mavericks. They were big dogs, too. They did a – that was a very surprising win to get that kind of big win, especially with Boogie playing the way that he did and playing the way he did the night before. 2-for-16 against the Pistons. And then he had, 800 points against Dallas. I mean, unbelievable how, back-to-back games. And the guy with the older guy at 28 against the Dallas after a 2-for-16 night against the Pistons. An older guy with the Achilles, you'd think, well, he can't even play in the back-to-back.
No, it's impossible.
Right? I mean, you gotta sit him down. He's not going to be able to play. And sure enough, he comes up with a huge game the very next night and kicks some ass. But Jeremy Grant, former Rocket Jeremy Grant, with the put up the layup too late, and he was fouled just after the buzzer had sounded. So the Rockets get the win there. That's it. I don't know if that I've ever seen a play like that where a foul on the layup that doesn't count.
Because it's too late?
Yeah, because it's too late.
I don't think
I've ever seen that.
They had to review it. The Cousins game is pretty astonishing when you think of how he's been playing, how many minutes, well, not a ton, how poorly he shot the ball. He's been rebounding. Even when he hasn't scored, he's been the other day, he grabbed some rebounds and some assists, but to come up with 28, 17 and 5 is a little bit, that's a little bit startling. Like, hey, where did that come from?
Right.
That's a dominant game.
No.
That's a really dominant game. And right now at 6-9, I mean, this is what you want from the Rockets. Realistically, this is what you want. You want to see some guys show up here, show up there, and then, you know, really step up and get as close to 500 as they can get. I think that's a realistic goal in the Western Conference. I don't think that's crazy. And we'll see if they're able to do that. You want to get John Wall back full time if you can. It's been a two week thing, and you know, I just worry that it's not going to be. This is what we're going to be seeing the whole year. I mean, this is what John Wall's career has kind of become. So, that's what you worry about. But it's nice seeing the Rockets. I think the Rockets are having a good time. I want Victor Oladipo to play well, and then you either have currency to deal him at the trade deadline if you want, or you can re-sign him. And I know that the Rockets are going to consider re-signing him. I mean, they look at this as their chance to get a test run for Victor Oladipo. How does he fit in with Christian Wood? How does he fit in with the rest of the team? How coachable is he?
Well, does he want to stay here, though, is another question.
Yeah, it's both, but they're going to have the money to offer him.
Yeah, but again, there's a lot of teams with money. So, you know, whether or not he's going to want to be here, is this good team good enough? Is I think you got to put some wins together for him to think, well, this is a place that I want to be.
He's got to like being here.
Yeah.
He got to like the city, got to like teammates, got to like the coach. Hold on, Yard. It's a lot of it. And then they have to want to keep him. So it is mutually, I mean, it's a mutual situation. But I think they do consider this, you know, an opportunity to really see. And I don't mind it. I don't mind Victor Oladipo being the potential number two on this team.
Yeah.
Realistically, you know, or even one. I don't know how it would work. It'd be 1-1A Christian Wood. I mean, that's where we are now. I didn't think we would be saying Christian Wood this early, but it really is there. Christian Wood and Victor Oladipo, and then, you know, veterans like John Wall. I mean, Eric Gordon. I'm wondering if Eric Gordon's going to have any trade value for a team looking for a guy who can come off the bench, hit some threes, you know, create for himself off the dribble.
Not with another 2 years at 19 each, I don't think.
It's possible. Yeah. If you have the space for it. I mean, you're going to have to take on some of these contracts. So what it would probably be is similar contracts for at least a year. Maybe the other contract will roll off, but you're going to have to take on, you know, the same money back. But if you can get out of it a year early, maybe you would do it. If you can get a first rounder out of it.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, I mean, yeah, who wants that?
Well, actually, it's usually the other way around.
Tell me the team that wants Eric Gordon at 2 years, 38.
Well,
give me the team. Did you do your homework?
Well, what about, I don't know, what about a team like Phoenix?
Why?
Well, I mean, if they're going to be pretty good, you get a scorer, a guy who can help. Eric Gordon has value.
Eric Gordon's a progress stopper for Phoenix. They have a lot of young wings they want to play. I mean,
I get what you're saying. Well, they would have to obviously be a playoff contender, somebody who's inside the top six or seven, where you say, you know what, let's add this veteran and let's see what we can do. I mean, clearly it would have to go to a team, the same kind of team that would want a P.J. Tucker, somebody who thinks, let's add another piece. Like Eddie Johnson was. Remember back in the day for the Rockets?
Yeah.
When they added him? It's the same kind of deal. Eddie Johnson is really no different than Eric Gordon. Rockets had him for a couple years. He was an older guy. But he had some value. He had a value. Eric Gordon would have value for a team as a sixth or seventh man, I think.
You've seen Eric Gordon in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
The inconsistencies.
Have you seen Eric Gordon's numbers lately?
I've seen some of them.
Yeah, would you want to pay that guy for those performances that you never know what's going to happen?
But I think for the 82 games,
there goes your shot at a GM job.
Beat it, you're out.
72 games, and now it'd be everybody 60. Needs.
I know Phoenix has Chris Paul, who knows how long he has left playing at a really high level, but if you're the Suns, you're like, I got all these young guys, you know what I'm going to do? Let's invite.
Maybe that's why you need a veteran.
Let's invite 2-for-12 in game 4 to our roster. Let's because you know that there's at least two of those per playoff series in a long series from Eric Gordon.
Yeah.
Or I could just let my young guys get all the experience so we can grow with them. Or I can let Eric Gordon take up their minutes.
Yeah, but teams think differently. Most teams don't think, let's play these young guys in the playoffs. Most teams, when they get there, they think, ooh, now that we're here, we want to do something. That's why you see so many young guys not even get into rotations.
Well, that happens here because the Rockets thought they had championship aspirations. But
don't focus on the Suns. I was just throwing out a name. It could be, you know, I don't know, Portland. It could be Denver. It could be anybody. Somebody in Denver is a type of team. Like, okay, we'll add him to the mix. He's in our top eight. He's coming off the bench. I'm just saying, I wonder if Eric Gordon could be a guy they could maybe get rid of who a team sees some value in him.
Okay.
But regardless,
all right.
Maybe we're too close to
wishing one hand.
maybe we're too close because I can't wait for some fan base to get a hold of Eric Gordon in the playoffs and go, what is this 3-for-12 I'm looking at here?
I'm about to school you on his playoff stuff.
Okay,
go ahead, please do.
Let's take a look.
Well, off and on performances. Here we go. Oh, we got to break
it
here.
No, we don't.
Playoff. How about every day?
Well, that too.
This was the unused, but this is the outlier. The 6-for-9 he had from three.
No, it's not.
It really
has been for the last, for whatever reason, he hasn't shot as well for the last
2 years.
31 is not great. 36% I'll take. 36%, 36%, 37%, 38%. I'll take all that stuff.
Well, wait a minute. What was last year?
Well, last year wasn't the
greatest. What was last year?
It's a pandemic.
It's a pandemic now.
He only played 36 games. I'm not going to count last year.
It was
31-7, but you don't count last year because it's pandemic.
Oh, that's even better. You mean he can't stay on the floor either?
It's pandemic. The year before, he was 36. I don't see y'all saying anything about that.
I would like to watch.
Acting like 36 is what you shoot for, like 36.
As many threes as he shoots, I want that a little higher.
How does he not have a better, with James on the court getting open looks, how does he not have a better shooting percentage?
Because he was missing a lot of them.
He didn't have lift. I forgot about that. That was the knee.
Oh, that's why.
Injuries, because that's who I want to trade for.
That's right.
A guy with a long history.
Oh, he has a long history, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got that, too, on top of it. On top of it, the $19 million a year.
Do you know he's only played in the playoffs? With New Orleans, he had some playoff experience, but all 4 years have been with Houston. And I'd say it's been good for the most part. Pretty good stuff I'm seeing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure. Since you're trying to trade him away.
He scored 208 points last year in the playoffs. So
over how many games? What does that average out to be? Oh, you don't want to get into the average, just the total points?
Average is actually going to be pretty good.
What is it then?
Well, they don't have any basketball reference.
Yes, they do. You'll be able to find it.
They played like 17 games last year.
They playoff shooting.
How many playoff games did they play last year?
They play 12?
12.
12 games?
Yeah, what's 208 divided by 12?
I don't know why they don't have playoff, like just... Why do they just do total points and not point per?
They have playoff. They have points per game. Just find it.
Yeah, I'll just keep looking, I guess. For whatever reason, it's not on the. Here it is. Oh, 17-3. Wah. 17-8. Wah. Why are y'all crying? 3-point percentage. 40% 2 years ago.
What about last year?
Oh, yeah. 40%.
What about last year?
He didn't have lift. He had the COVID. 32%.
Where's his lift now?
32%. Career 36%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you want to trade him, although you love the stats,
yeah,
right?
We're not going to be in the playoffs. Maybe in here.
Well,
this isn't a playoff team.
Isn't this a team who has right playoff aspirations?
I can't wait till Eric starts tweeting out lyrics. You say you love me, but all this time, you're all in your feelings.
But I never said
Why
I loved you.
Why can't we do this?
That'd be a lie.
And be mine. I just want Eric Gordon to start tweeting lyrics.
Who said
lyrics
they loved him?
So we know that I think he wants a trade. You know who else I wish would just... Who do I want
who else
to tweet?
Do we need rap lyrics?
I mean, I would have loved Ryan Anderson to tweet some lyrics of rap. I don't really have anybody that I want to tweet. I mean, I wouldn't mind Whitney Merciless tweeting some lyrics.
Yeah, that would be totally sweet. How about the Rocket Mortgage Squares commercial with the guitar, with Jacob Martin doing the guitar boy? I can't.
Rock Boys.
I can't.
Yeah, it made it on a commercial.
Yeah. It's at the end of the commercial. It makes me sick every time I see it.
How the hell did that get on TV?
I want to talk right now about something that I love. And it's the 2021 Ford F-150. I swear, I think I'm one of the first people in Houston that got to drive the 2021 because not everybody has them. They have the Mustang Ford. They got a 12-inch display screen. I mean, this thing it's like an iPad that you look at, you know, with the directions or of what music is on or anything else. It is really, really sweet. If you need a laptop or have a lunch, the center console folds out into a flat workspace. It's totally sweet. Automatically open your tailgate for years. Well, now you have auto close as well. You can close it automatically. Big job. You just wanted to back up power for your house. An available built-in generator up to 7,000 kilowatts. If you hate to have your truck into service departments for system updates, Sync 4 now does it all over the air. Okay? And in the fourth quarter, Ford will push over hands-free driving for the first time ever. This is happening right now with the 2021 Ford F-150. It is totally sweet, and you can get it at Chastang Ford. If you want to test drive this truck, I'm telling you, you got to get to Chastang Ford. Chastang Ford is on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. Or they will deliver it to your home if you want to do it all online. And you can shop totally online at ChastangFord.com. That's ChastangFord.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.